In your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to start with verse 39 and read just two verses this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, we finished the narrative in Hebrews chapter 11. We call it the Hall of Fame of Faith. We saw individuals mentioned one after another. And then we looked at the last week at the thought, and others. And others. That others did not receive the result of the faith that they thought they would receive, but yet they had great faith. And today we start with verse 39. Look at the last two verses of Hebrews chapter 11. It says, "And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect." Our part in the line of faith. Our part in the line of faith. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you and thank you for today, and thank you for the wonderful music, and Lord, we thank you for all the good things that you've done for us in our Sunday school hour, and we begin our service, and now we pray that you'd quiet our hearts and our minds as we look at your word. We pray now that you'd use it for your honor and glory, that our hearts would be challenged and instructed, and we'll give you the praise for what you accomplished now in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've studied Hebrews chapter 11. It's easy to say, so what? I don't live where they lived. I don't have what they had. I don't have the opportunities that they've had. And what does that have to do with me? If I lived then, I could have. You can fill in the blank. But the way things are now, I don't know. You know, it's easy when we know the end of the story of David and Goliath. And well, David, it's interesting, one of the most notable stories in the Old Testament and from Samuel, and it's not mentioned here. But David, if we know how the story of David and Goliath ended. And because we know how it ended, we would say, sure, I'd have picked up those five smooth stones and walked down there with my sling to that giant. I would have done that. We know how it ended when Daniel was thrown in the den of lions. Sure, I'd have done that. We know how it ended with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they wouldn't bow to the image when the music played and said, sure, I wouldn't have bowed. I'd been just like those three. I would have gone. I'd have let them throw me in that furnace, because we know how the story ended. Today, somehow we think we are at a disadvantage when it comes to exercising our faith. And the disadvantage, I think, that we see sometimes, or we perceive, it's not real, is that we don't know how the story will end. But here we see, as we finish up Hebrews chapter 11, we see the testimony, first of all, of the Hebrews 11 saints. The testimony of the Hebrews 11 saints. Notice, it's the words we have here. And remember, we said before, words are important. And these all have obtained a good report. All. Each individual without exception. Now remember that we see the great exploits of faith in the first 34 verses and into verse 35. And then we come to that phrase, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. And then we see, and others had trial in verse 36 of cruel mockings and scourgings. But each individual, the writer of Hebrews tells us, without exception, having obtained a good report. Report cards. Our academy is drawing to a close this week, and report cards will be issued. All right, Ashley? Did they let you fill out your own report card this year? They didn't. Well, they should have. But notice the thought, they obtained a good... They didn't fill out their own report. They did not report on themselves. God reported to us, here in Hebrews chapter 11, the account of their life and faith. Sometimes we things see things, I'm afraid, with a, can I use the word warped perspective? We look and we say, well, who am I living on a little island in Canada, a long ways from anything, from any place? Nobody will ever know my name. Nobody will ever know what I've done. Earthly speaking, that may be true. But God says we obtain a report. God knows. History records. The books of heaven record when we step out by faith. When we, through a small act of faith, by the way, are there really small acts of faith? I thought about that when I said that. When we, by faith, take a tract out of our pocket and hand it to somebody, that's an act of faith. It is. Because we don't know how they're going to react, do we? They said in Sunday school, you go into the auction. I went to the auction. And I met a man from China. Studied at Moore University. Married a young lady here from Newfoundland. And he was there. And at first I didn't think he was from China because he was taller than I am. He told me he's from China. I said, you're too tall to be from China. He said, no, I live in a northern province. We're the tallest people in China. And the people in my city are the tallest people in my province. And I gave him a track. I said, I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church. I should leave this, like, to, you know. And he took it and he looked at it, and I wasn't sure what he was going to do. But then he took his billfold out of his pocket. He carefully took that track and he slid it in his billfold where he could keep it, and he put it back in his pocket. If I hadn't told you, you would never know that I gave that track to that man. But if you will, it's in the report. You see the little things we do, passing out a track, talking to someone, having a boss ask us if we could read some of the Bible for him. By the way, give him a daily bread. Tell him to read some of that. Very interesting for him to read. You see, our faith is not different than the faith of those that are recorded in Hebrews chapter 11. It's just at a different time in God's calendar. And we don't have the report of the end of our faith. We don't know. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with that young man that I gave from China, that I gave a track. And if I ever see him or not, if he reads the track, if he gets saved, if he ever visits the track, I don't know. But God knows. They obtained a good report. Notice the last of that, the middle of that verse. They obtained a good report through faith. May our faith be seen. The just shall live by faith. You know, they didn't obtain a good report because of their ability. We look at a lot of the individuals that we see here in this portion of Scripture that they didn't necessarily have a great deal of ability necessarily, but they had faith. They didn't obtain a good report because of their skill, their talent, their family connection, their place in society, their race, their country of origin. Those things are irrelevant. They obtained a good report through the exercising and the agency of their faith. You see, the Scripture says, God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Both those things are involved in faith. The exercising of our faith and the agency, the doing of his good pleasure. Through faith we are encouraged. Through faith we are enabled. Through faith we are empowered to do what God asks us to do. Faith was the enabler to turn them from the world to seek only the approval of God. I'm afraid often we set our faith aside because we're too concerned about what the world might think. Sometimes we set our faith aside because we're concerned what worldly Christians might think about us. Did you ever do that, going to pass out a tract? And you pick up a tract and you're going to hand it to somebody and say, what will they think about me if I have them the tract? Will they think I'm some kind of religious nut? What will they think about me? You see, faith sets that aside. Faith says, that I'm going to turn from the world, I'm going to seek the approval of God. So we see all, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. So the second thing we see, we saw the testimony of the Hebrews 11 saints. Secondly, we see the time of the Hebrews 11 saints. They received not the promise. If we go back earlier in our pages, back in Hebrews, the first several chapters up through chapter 6 or 7, we see the thought of better things. We'll talk about this more just a little bit. But these Hebrews 11 saints had not seen the Messiah. The Messiah had not come. That's the promise. The promise made to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3:15. The promise made to Abraham. The promise made to David. We see that the promise of the Old Testament, that a Messiah would come. Sin was a problem. Sin was an issue. Sin had to be dealt with. We could not deal with our own sin, our own selves, in this time or back in the Old Testament times. Today we look back. We sing songs about that at Calvary. We look back to the cross of Calvary. We look back at the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary. And we, by faith, accept and believe that Jesus came. He lived here for about 33 years. He died on the cross, not for his own sin, but he died to pay for our sins on the cross. As he died on the cross, he endured the cross. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us, in despising the shame. And he's sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God. But Jesus Christ paid for our sins, all of our sins, our past sin, our present sin, our future sin. And it's only waiting for us to ask him to forgive our sin. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But these had not yet received the promise. Now they could be saved. They were saved by looking forward to the cross, to the promise of God. Just like we're saved at looking back to the cross, to the promise fulfilled of God. They believed in the promise of the Messiah. The fulfilled promise was all future to them. But consider this. The promise was sufficient for them to live a life of faith. The promise was sufficient. These heroes in the beginning of this chapter did not have the historical narrative that we have of Jesus Christ being born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. They didn't have the historical narrative of him being baptized at Bethabara by John the Baptist. They didn't have the historical narrative of his temptation in the wilderness. They didn't have the teachings of Christ we find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They didn't have the account of his crucifixion, his death, his burial, his resurrection. They didn't have all that. They had the promise of all that. But we have the actual historical record of those events. We know they took place. It is sure. There is no question. There's historical evidence, even outside the pages of scriptures, of Jesus of Nazareth. But that promise was sufficient to make them lead a life of faith. Think about this. Probably the most important thing I'm going to say this morning. We have received the promise. We know for sure. There was a historical figure named Jesus of Nazareth. We know for sure that he was arrested. We know for sure that he was tried. We know for sure that he was crucified. We know for sure that he rose again the third day. We have the historical. We know that for sure. We have seen, we have experienced the promise in our own lives when we trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. Understanding all that, how much better able should we be able to live a life of faith than those in Hebrews chapter 11? We look back in awe at them. We look back in awe at what they accomplished in their lives. The snippets of their lives, sometimes just a snapshot as we looked at some of the and others, and the snapshots of their life. They accomplished something great for God.
What's our excuse? We have so much more than they had. We have the completed canon of scriptures.
You either had one you brought with you this morning or you have one at home. You have a Bible. The complete revelation of God in our hands. Nothing's to be added, Revelation tells us. Nothing to be taken away. It's all there.
We have the historical account. We have Jesus Christ living in our life. We have today the Holy Spirit of God indwelling us. That most those in the back, the Holy Spirit operated differently in the Old Testament. He came upon an individual for a certain time, for a certain purpose, and then would leave sometimes again. But we have the Holy Spirit of God living in our lives, encouraging us to live this life of faith.
You know, most of the acts of faith are not what we look at as the miraculous. The dead being raised to life. Don't hear of that too much anymore. But the acts of faith are the little things we do day by day in obedience to the Word of God. Remember I told you, faith is hearing the Word of God and obeying it. It's not some mystical thing. It's not some emotion that I have to work up enough faith and work up enough faith and work up enough faith to do. No, it's simply obeying the Word of God. You see, taking a tract and handing it to someone is simply obeying. It says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's simply obeying the Word of God. It isn't some emotional thing that you have to work up. Living a life of faith in obedience to Jesus Christ is something we do because the Bible tells us to do it, and by faith we step out and do it. And we understand that we may not, and again, we talked about the report, we may not see the end of the report in our life. But God honors our steps of faith. We've received the promise. Don't tell me, don't tell God. Don't worry about me. Don't tell God. I can't do what the Bible tells me I should do. Because you're saying then God's a liar. You're saying God cannot enable you. God cannot help you. We've received the promise. What do you know you should be doing? Think about it. And I'm not even going to mention anything because I'm going to let the Holy Spirit mention it to you. What do you know you should be doing? Or let's turn the coin the other side. What do you know you shouldn't be doing? See, by faith we do things that we should, and by faith we avoid things we should not. We've received the promise. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the historical fact. We have Jesus Christ in our life. We can live a life of faith. Look at verse 40. God having provided some better thing for us. God having provided some better thing for us. Do you ever wish you had it better than you do? Think it was easier back then because they had it better? Been easier to live a life for Christ without the distractions and the temptations we have today? I've been thinking about life back in the 50s and 60s. Some of you, that's ancient history. I was born in 1953. In Michigan, as I'm sure it was here, things were a great deal different in the 50s and 60s. I said before that, you know, we had a telephone. It was on a stand in the kitchen. And our phone number was 844. That's all. We're on 8 party line. And if we wanted to get any numbers outside the little town of Fulton, we'd have to dial the operator. It's interesting, our 8-party line had this interesting lady on the line who the phone would ring, and it would ring different rings for different parts of the party. And you'd hear the phone ring, and you'd pick it up, and after you picked up, you'd hear a click. And she was on the phone again, listening to your conversation. Kind of like our government now. We have television, we got 2 channels. That's all. One was good and one was worse. I mean, one was from Kalamazoo, which is about 20 miles away. One was from Grand Rapids, about 50 miles away. And the one from Grand Rapids was all fuzzy. You could hardly see anything. Then our television broke. For years, my folks didn't have money to buy a television, so we didn't have one. You know, the things they showed in the movie theaters weren't as bad as what's shown on television now. Lived in a very different time in the 50s and 60s. Things began to change quite radically back then. We say, well, you know, it'd been a whole lot easier to live for God back in the 50s and 60s than it is now. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. Because there was still temptation. We still dealt with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We still had our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. They were still there, just in different ways. You see, somehow we think that if I lived in another time, it would been easier for me to serve God. If I lived back in the days of the pioneers that went out to the prairies and homesteaded and built a sod house and had a farm, and there was nobody within 50 miles of me except there were me and my wife and 3 little kids running around, and that was it, and no television, no internet, no videos, none of that. It had been a whole lot. No, it wasn't. It was just different. But here we find the author says, God having provided some better thing for us. What's he talking about? One of the key words for the book of Hebrews is better. So we live in a different time. And if you will, we have it better than all these that we look back in great admiration, and we should, to the earlier part of the chapter. In the book of Hebrews, we find that we find a better name for Christ. We find a better hope, a better covenant, better promises. We have a better country. We have a better substance. The writer says that God spoke to them by the prophets, but now he speaks to us through his Son. So they had rest in Canaan, but now we have rest in God. They have a priest who is a man, but ours is the very Son of God. He is our high priest. Their sanctuary was on earth, but ours is in heaven. They had the old covenant, but we have the new covenant. Theirs was the blood of bulls and goats, but ours is the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Their worship made nothing perfect, but we are perfected in Christ. They had no access to the Holy of Holies, but we have living access to the throne of God. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. No longer was just the high priest to go in once a year on the Day of Atonement. But now we have, through Jesus Christ, access to the very throne room of God. We don't have to go through an intermediary. We don't have to go to a priest and ask a priest to pray for us so that God would listen to our prayers. Because our God is only a whisper away. Our God, we can pray anytime, any place, in any circumstance, with any problem, with any difficulty. We can come immediately into the Holy of Holies, but therefore the very throne of God, and bring our petition to the very throne of God, bring our petition to the Creator of the universe, and He listens to us. Think of it back then. The only access to the Holy of Holies, the earthly, was through the high priest once a year. How much better we have it than they did? We have immediate access. The last part of verse 40 said that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, this has always been a bit of a mystery to me. But we have to understand, first of all, the thought of perfect. None of us here are perfect. Sometimes maybe we think we are, but none of us are perfect. But the thought of perfect in the Bible always deals with the thought of being complete. I often think of a circle. If I take a compass and I draw a circle, all the points in the circle are equal distance from the center point of the circle. But if I leave that much out of the circle when I'm drawing it with a compass, it's not a complete circle. It's not a perfect circle. See, the thought of being perfect as a Christian is that everything's in its place it should be in our lives. That there's no gaps. That there's no omissions. That we say, you know what, God, I am not sinless. I am not without fault. I am not without error. But by the grace of God and by the empowering of God, I am doing everything to the best of the ability God gives me in my life day by day. That's the thought. But what is it talking about with the Old Testament? They without us should not be made perfect. We don't make them perfect. There's nothing we can do to affect the eternity of someone who's gone on before us. But we have to understand that with us, with the New Testament, with the finished work of Jesus Christ, that the faith that they had, looking forward to the Son of God who would come and pay for their sins, is perfected in us. Why? Because we have seen, looking back, we have seen the finished work of Jesus Christ. We are complete in Him. And they are complete because the work of God is finished in heaven. Colossians 2:10, Paul writes and says, "And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." Think about these two thoughts. We can be complete in Christ because of the preparation of the Old Testament believers. They are complete in Christ because of the fulfillment of the Old Testament in our time. We complete one another. We can put another word in there and say we complement one another. It's two halves. That these Old Testament saints who didn't have the knowledge that we had, who didn't have the Word of God that we have, didn't have the Holy Spirit of God in their lives that we have, God used them to exercise great faith. But their faith was not complete, if you will, because Jesus Christ had not yet died on the cross and paid for their sins. We look back to them. Our faith is complete looking back to Jesus Christ, and the exercise of our faith is complete looking back to those who by faith, without all the benefits that we have, serve God. We are perfected together in the finished work of Christ. The Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints. A couple of thoughts and I'm done. First, the Old Testament saints walk by faith without the benefit of seeing the fulfillment of their faith. There's no doubt about that. We have it so much better than they did. Again, remember, we have the Word of God. We have the historical account of the finished work of Christ. We have the Holy Spirit of God living with us to convict us of sin and of righteousness. What excuse do we have for not walking by faith? What excuse do we have? So, Pastor, you don't know how... I don't. I don't know what your circumstances of your life. But I know if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have a great advantage over these heroes in Hebrews chapter 11. Don't explain it to me. Go back and explain it to Abraham, Gideon. Explain to them why you have it so much harder than they did. What excuse do we have for not walking by faith? You know, the only excuse for not walking by faith is never having trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. See, because if you've not trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible is often a mystery to you. The Holy Spirit of God doesn't live in your heart. You're not saved. You don't have the assurance of eternity in heaven. And so the steps you take day by day are often a struggle. And you wonder why you struggle day by day by day. And things that should be easy, you struggle with. Because you've not trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know you should. You know He died on the cross for you. You know He paid the penalty for all your sins. You know it's easy to trust Christ. What do we have to know? We have to know that all sin to come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we know the Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever, that includes you, shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, and He'll change your life. Take you off the road to hell and set you on the road to heaven. Give you a new life in Christ. Give you a new perspective. Give you a new ability to walk this life in a life of faith. Their heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around.